This is a different kind of war.
July 28, 1965, President Lyndon B. Johnson, in a press conference, answers a question many have been wondering.
We're in Vietnam to fulfill one of the most solemn pledges of the American nation. Three presidents, President Eisenhower, President Kennedy, and your present president, over 11 years have committed themselves and have promised to help defend this small and valiant nation.
The Eastern world, it is exploding, violence flaring, bullets loading. You're old enough to kill, but not for voting.
That same year, Barry McGuire recorded Eve of Destruction. It quickly was hailed as an anti-Vietnam War protest song.
But you tell me over and over and over again, my friend, you don't believe we're on the eve of destruction.
This is called the Combat Infantryman's Badge. You have to serve 30 days with an infantry unit in combat in a wartime situation.
It's not a fancy scrapbook, but for Kerry King, the military medals, photos, and certificates that it holds are more important.
The V indicates for valor. This is a Purple Heart. When you get wounded, you get a Purple Heart.
Our conversation begins inside WABE Studio 4. Kerry King takes me on a journey to relive a past that some veterans would rather forget.
When you hear people say, we're not going to call that a Vietnam War, we're going to call it a Vietnam conflict, what are your thoughts on that? Does that bother you?
Well, in a way it does, but what it tells me is their lack of understanding of what happened during that long and extended war, which lasted for us well over 12 years. It's also a lack of understanding and a naivety about what is a war. And if your definition of a war is that it requires Congress to declare it or president to declare it, then Vietnam, I believe, fits that category. It doesn't particularly bother me. It just shows me that they lack some knowledge and understanding.
Let's talk about your military service.
Okay.
I'm going to go back to the day you decided you wanted to join the United States Army.
That's a fair question. Actually, I grew up in Atlanta and was a product of Grady High School in Atlanta, and joined, and I think at that time it was mandatory, joined the Junior Army ROTC when I was in the 10th grade, and I immediately liked it. I liked the uniform a little bit. But I liked the precision, and I liked the rules and the framework of the military. It suited me, and it suited my personality to some extent. So at that point, I knew that someday I was going to serve in the active military. I just didn't exactly know when. And I stayed in the program for all 3 years until I graduated Grady. Then when I went to college, I also was in the Army ROTC in college and was commissioned as a second lieutenant when I graduated from Georgia State.
Because I know you had to sign up for the draft, so after college, did you then?
Yeah. You registered for the draft when you were 18 years old.
Sure.
At that point in history, at that point in time. I turned 18 in 1959, so, and if you do the math, I guess you can figure out how old I am now. I signed up for the draft, but I was also enrolled in college, so you had a college deferment. I had enrolled in law school at Emory University, and I started it a bit, and then I decided I was too immature, I guess. I was 21 or 22. Decided to go on active duty. In late 64, early 65, it became apparent that the war was heating up. We didn't much know where Vietnam was or what it was, to be honest.
You hadn't even heard of it, had you?
Not initially. I went to the library in Frankfurt, on post in Frankfurt, and I started to read up on Indochina, and I read a couple of books about the French. So I submitted a request to volunteer to go to Vietnam. I was a career soldier, and this was a war, and I was a patriot, and I still am a patriot. I go where I felt the country needed me, and so I volunteered again, and this time they accepted. And I was assigned to Vietnam. I got orders to the 1st Infantry Division, and I left in early 1967. So that was my first assignment, and then later I worked with the artillery. I was there quite a while.
You saw combat?
A lot of combat, yeah.
Can you tell me about it? Maybe the first time you were involved in a battle?
Yeah, I can tell you. I'd been Vietnam about 4 or 5 days, I think. I just barely unpacked my stuff. I still didn't even have the patches sewn on my uniform yet. And one of our units got into very heavy contact in an area up in the northern part of our area of operations, in a very bad place called Loc Ninh. They launched a pretty large size attack that night. So my first big attack that I was involved in was at Loc Ninh.
Were you and your fellow servicemen, were you all aware of the opposition and the protests back in the United States about America's involvement in this? And did you all talk about it?
I was aware of it. I can't speak for everybody. I was aware of it. I don't know that I ever talked about it with anybody. I would write letters to my folks once in a while, sort of asking what the heck is going on and why are people doing this. And I felt like we were somewhat being blamed for whatever misgivings they had about the war, the civilians had about the war. You know, it's funny. I've now got 46 years in retrospect to look backwards, and I've watched a lot of programs about Vietnam. A good deal of that stuff I didn't know when I was there. Plus, you'd have to sort of understand that as a soldier, most soldiers, particularly career soldiers like I was, didn't politically get involved in what a conflict was about. It's almost, in a way, like a fireman. If there's a building burning, how the building got started and why it got started is less his concern than getting it under control.
You want to get it under control and possibly even save people. That's the first line of thought.
So there you go. And that's what we were all about. And I believed in what we were doing.
At any point, did you think, I may be going home in a military body bag like some of my fellow servicemen here?
Yeah, unfortunately, I saw too much of that. Yeah, you think about it. I did think about it. Not seeing my daughter again when I left, she was just a few months old. I thought about not seeing the rest of my family. I thought about that. And also, with me particularly, I was more worried about losing a limb or being blind, or I was very afraid of getting burned. My first really bad casualty was my first boss was in a helicopter out looking for a young man who kind of lost it one day and went out of the wire. He was out looking for him in the helicopter. Something happened to the hydraulics on the helicopter. Helicopter crashed and flipped over, and the gas tanks erupted into flames, and he was burned, third-degree burns on about 85% of his body. He ultimately died from those wounds. I used to have nightmares about that for months and months. Because we went in and picked him up after, and it was not pleasant.
What was the most intense battle that you were in when you were in Vietnam?
Well, I was in a few pretty intense battles. The worst one that I think I was ever in was around July 3rd of 1968. It was after the Tet Offensive. I was in some fairly intense battles during the Tet Offensive. But after the Tet Offensive, we had a counteroffensive that was in May of 1968. And there were a lot of battles there, but in July 1968, we were chasing a large Viet Cong unit and perhaps some North Vietnamese regulars into a heavy jungle area. And I commanded a 105-millimeter howitzer battery. I don't know if you even know what that means, but the big guns.
Yeah, absolutely.
When you see the movies, it's a big gun.
It's ground mounted and it can shoot very, very far away.
That's right. And I had 6 guns in my battery. A battery is the same thing as a company.
Mm-hmm.
There are about 150 to 200 men in that. And we were out in a jungle position that literally was just a hole cut in the jungle. And one night about 10 o'clock, the VC started to attack. And the first thing they did was fire a rocket-propelled grenade, an RPG that hit one of my gun sections, killed 2 people outright, and a third died within a few minutes of that. And then we had a huge number of casualties, wounded. They cut through the wire on the northern end of the perimeter. We were in there with an infantry unit, so it was my artillery unit and the infantry unit. And the next morning after everything cleared up, I think there were 8 or 10 enemy dead in the wire or past the wire. So it was a very, very bad night. It was a night where I said, you know, people who may not be so religious become, as they say, there are no atheists in the foxholes. I remember being so close to the ground, we were getting mortared all night long, and I remember being so close to the ground, I really think I was breathing dirt. And I said to myself, if you'll get me out of this, I'll find something to do to give back. I promise I will. And I've tried to live my life that way. I hope I have.
Kerry King did make it out of Vietnam. There was no hero's welcome when he returned, but he didn't expect it either. That's coming up next when A Closer Look returns.